This episode covers how to talk about different sex drives without shame. You've counted how many weeks it's been, and that number keeps growing in your head. What you're getting here are 5 word-for-word scripts to start this conversation without it turning into a fight. At some point, the gap between what you want and what's happening stopped feeling like a temporary dry spell and started feeling like a statement about your relationship. You stopped bringing it up. She stopped bringing it up. Both of you got good at pretending the distance isn't there. That silence isn't neutral. It grows. Men searching for how to talk about different sex drives are almost never just asking about sex. They're asking about closeness. They're asking why they feel like roommates in a relationship that used to feel like a partnership. They're asking whether the version of their relationship they remember is still possible. The conversation about different libidos is hard for a specific reason. It carries more weight than almost anything else you could bring up. When desire drops, the instinct is to interpret it personally. She doesn't want you. You're not enough. Something is wrong with you, or with her, or with both of you together. None of those interpretations are automatically true, but they're what gets carried into the conversation if you don't deal with them first. Most men either say nothing or say too much. The nothing option is easier in the short term and genuinely destructive over time. The too much option usually comes out as a complaint or a pressure that makes her more closed off, not less. The typical version of this conversation goes something like, "We haven't had sex in 3 weeks. What's going on?" That's not a conversation opener. That's a scoreboard. She hears it as an accusation. Her defenses go up. You're now debating facts instead of talking about feelings. Or the opposite. He brings it up so carefully, so hedged, so loaded with disclaimers that she ends up trying to manage his feelings instead of saying what's actually true for her. The fear of rejection is real, but the strategy of avoiding the conversation guarantees the outcome you're afraid of. The distance that comes from never speaking about this topic is indistinguishable from the outside, from not caring. There are 2 failure modes most common here. The first is framing this as a problem that needs solving. It's not a problem. It's a gap that needs understanding. The second is treating her response as the measure of whether the conversation was worth having. It wasn't. Whether she opens up in 5 minutes or 6 months, you still needed to say something true. Sex drives don't stay static. They shift with stress, health, hormones, life stage, and how emotionally safe each person feels in the relationship. For men in long-term relationships, one of the biggest unspoken drivers of a desire gap is emotional distance that preceded it by months or years. This isn't about blame. It's about sequence. When emotional closeness drops, so does her desire, in most cases. When she feels criticized, pressured, invisible, or just chronically disconnected, the physical side shuts down as a consequence, not a cause. For you, it might work the other way. Physical closeness might be how you rebuild emotional closeness. That's not wrong. It's just that you're reaching for the outcome before the conditions for it exist. A few things that commonly drive desire gaps in relationships past the 10-year mark. Chronic stress from work, parenting, or finances that doesn't get named out loud. A pattern of unresolved low-grade conflict that made connection feel unsafe. One partner's unspoken feeling that the other has checked out emotionally. Hormonal or health changes that neither person has talked about. A habit of avoiding vulnerability that slowly made intimacy feel like a performance. None of these get fixed in one conversation, but one conversation can open a door that's been closed for a long time. The quality of this conversation depends more on what you do before it starts than on the script you use. Here's what to sort out first. Step 1. Know what you're actually asking for. If you go in with a vague sense of wanting more closeness and connection, that's fine. But know whether you're opening a conversation or asking for something specific. I want to understand what's happening between us is a different conversation than I want us to figure out how to be close again. Both are good. They're just different. Step 2. Deal with your own fear first. What's the worst thing she could say? Write it down if you have to. Most men find that the actual worst case, she confirms something is permanently wrong, is survivable, and that carrying the fear of it is worse than knowing. Get clear on what you're afraid she'll say, so you're not managing that fear mid-conversation. Step 3. Choose the right time. Not when she's exhausted. Not right after a fight. Not when one of you has 10 minutes before leaving for work. Sunday morning, or a Tuesday night when the kids are in bed and you're both settled. You can say, "There's something I've been wanting to talk about. When's a good time in the next couple days?" That's not awkward. That's respectful. Step 4. Set the frame before the content. Start by telling her what this conversation is and isn't. It's not a complaint. It's not a scorecard. It's not about her doing something wrong. If she goes in expecting an accusation and gets something different, that difference matters. Now, let's get into the actual words. Script 1. Opening the conversation. For when you've been carrying this for a while and you want to start somewhere real, without it immediately becoming a fight. Pick a calm moment. Sit near her, not across from her. Keep your voice low and even. This isn't a confrontation. Treat it like something you're sharing, not something you're accusing her of. Say this: "I've been wanting to say something for a while, and I keep not saying it. I miss feeling close to you, not just physically. I mean really close, like we used to be. I don't know what's changed, and I'm not blaming you. I just wanted to say that out loud instead of carrying it around." Just pause and let her respond. Don't fill the silence. Why it works: you've named the desire without placing blame. "I miss" is vulnerability, not accusation. Then not just physically tells her, this is about connection, not performance. The pause is critical. She needs space to process what you said. What happens next? She'll either open up, get quiet, or get slightly defensive. All of those are okay. You're not expecting resolution. You're opening a door. Keep your posture calm and wait. Script 2. If you're the one with lower desire, for when she initiates, you've been pulling back, and she's reading it as rejection or disinterest in her. This script requires honesty about what's actually going on for you. If your lower desire is about stress, health, emotional distance, or something else, say what it actually is. Vague deflection hurts her more than honest information. Say this: "I need to say something because I think my pulling back has been hurting you, and that's the last thing I want." Just pause for a moment, then say, "It's not about you. I want to be clear about that. I've been exhausted or stressed about work or not feeling great about myself, and that's got me in my head. When I pull back, it's me managing my own stuff, not me pulling away from you. I should have said this sooner." Why it works: you're taking responsibility for the impact of your withdrawal without making her the cause of it. Naming the actual reason, even if it's uncomfortable, is more reassuring than a vague "I'm fine." She's likely been interpreting your distance as personal rejection. Correcting that matters. What happens next? She'll probably want to know more. Be ready to say something real about what's actually going on. This conversation can't stop at "it's not about you." It needs somewhere to go. Script 3. When she gets defensive mid-conversation, for when you've said something vulnerable and she's reacted with hurt, irritation, or a counter-complaint. The conversation is about to collapse. The instinct here is to defend your original point or go quiet. Don't do either. Acknowledge what she said before you go back to what you were saying. Say this: "I hear you. And I can see why what I said felt like a complaint. That's not how I meant it." Just pause and let that land. Then say, "Can we take a minute? I want to keep talking about this, but I don't want it to turn into something that just hurts both of us." Why it works: you're de-escalating without abandoning the conversation. Acknowledging her response isn't admitting you said something wrong. It's showing her You hurt her. That's what she needs. Before she can hear you again. What happens next? She'll either soften, or she'll need more time. If she needs more time, agree on when you'll come back to it and then actually come back to it. Don't let the pause become another 6 months of silence. Script 4. Naming what you want without pressure. For when the conversation has opened up, and you want to say what you actually need, without it coming out as a demand. This is where men usually either go too vague, I just want things to be better, or too specific, I want sex more often. Neither helps. Be honest about the feeling underneath the request. Say this, what I want is to feel wanted by you again. That's the honest version. I'm not saying it to put pressure on you. I know that wanting and being ready are different things, but I wanted you to know that's what I've been missing. Just pause for a moment. Then say, what I'm hoping we can do is figure out what's actually going on between us. Because I don't want to just be the guy who brings this up once and then goes quiet for another year. Why it works. I want to feel wanted is emotionally honest and removes the transactional frame from the conversation. Acknowledging that wanting and readiness are different shows her you understand her side of the gap. The second part names a shared goal instead of a personal demand. What happens next? This is a good moment to ask her what's going on for her. Not why don't you want me, but what would help you feel more connected? Let her answer before you respond. Script 5. Re-entry after a bad first attempt. For when you tried to have this conversation and it went badly. You said the wrong thing. She shut down. Or it turned into a fight. You need to come back to it without making it worse. Give it at least 24 to 48 hours. Then initiate calmly and briefly. Don't rehash the fight. Open the door to the real conversation again. Say this. That conversation the other night didn't go the way I wanted. I think I said it wrong, and I want to try again. Just pause for a moment. Then say, I'm not trying to relitigate what happened. I just want to actually talk about this, without it going sideways. Can we try again? Why it works. You're taking responsibility for the failure without assigning fault for the bad outcome. I said it wrong is ownership without self-flagellation. Asking to try again signals you care enough to push through the discomfort. What happens next? She may agree immediately, or she may need more time. If she's still defensive, don't push. Come back to it again. The fact that you tried twice already communicates something important. Your natural communication pattern will shape how this conversation goes sideways if you don't account for it. If you tend to keep the peace and avoid conflict, you've probably been managing her feelings instead of saying what's true for you. You've avoided bringing this up because you didn't want to upset her or make her feel pressured. The irony is that your silence is doing more damage than the conversation would. The specific adjustment, say what you actually want, even if it feels risky. Vague reassurance, everything's fine, is your default and it doesn't work here. If you tend to get defensive quickly, the moment she says anything that sounds like a complaint or a counter-accusation, your instinct will be to correct the record. Resist it. She doesn't need you to be right. She needs to feel heard before she can hear you. The specific adjustment. Let her finish every sentence without interrupting or rebutting. You can come back to your perspective after she's felt understood, not before. If you tend to get loud or intense under stress, your intensity will read as pressure here, even if you don't intend it that way. If you've been holding this in for months, it may come out bigger than you planned. The specific adjustment, say less than you want to. Start with one true sentence, then stop. Let her respond. Give the conversation room to breathe. Coming in at full intensity on a topic this sensitive will close her down, not open her up. If you tend to go quiet under stress, you've probably been processing this privately for a long time, and she has no idea you've been thinking about it. The specific adjustment. Give her a warning before you say the hard thing. I've been thinking about something I want to share with you is enough. It prepares her for a real conversation, instead of blindsiding her. And when she responds, stay physically present, even if you want to retreat. If she tends to push harder when she's feeling disconnected, her intensity in this conversation is a bid for closeness, not an attack. Don't match her volume. Lower yours deliberately. The de-escalation move is to slow down and say, "I hear you. I want to keep talking about this. Can we slow down for a second?" Her pressure usually softens when she feels like you're not retreating. If she's gone quiet and stopped initiating anything, she's exhausted from trying and feeling like it hasn't mattered. Coming in with big energy will feel like too little too late. The move here is quiet consistency. Don't open with a declaration. Open with a question. "I've been thinking about us. Can I share something?" Keep your voice low. Don't make her manage your emotions on top of her own. If she tends to pull back and needs space before she can connect, closeness on demand overwhelms her. This conversation will go better as a side-by-side moment than face-to-face intensity. On a walk, in the car, washing dishes. Give her a way to exit the conversation without it meaning the conversation is over. Don't read her silence as rejection. She may need 24 hours before she comes back with something real. If she's the one who's been reaching out while you've pulled back, she's likely been feeling like you're not interested in her. Your silence has read as indifference. The script you need here is script 2, lower desire partner. Name what's actually been going on for you. Let her know your distance is about you, not about her. That one correction can shift months of accumulated hurt. You're not having this conversation to score points or win an argument. You're having it because the distance between you costs something. And at some level, you already know that. When you say something true about desire without complaint or pressure, two things can happen. The first is that she feels seen in a way that's different from your usual dynamic. Most couples with mismatched sex drives have stopped naming the gap at all. Just naming it, plainly and without accusation, creates a different kind of contact between you. The second thing is it models something. If you can be honest about what you want without weaponizing it, it becomes safer for her to do the same. And what she's been holding, her own version of this, is usually very different from what you've been imagining. The research is clear that perceived partner responsiveness, the sense that someone understands and values you, is the primary driver of desire in long-term relationships. That's what this conversation is building. Not just logistics about frequency or timing, but the felt sense that you're paying attention to each other again. Physical intimacy in long-term relationships is downstream of emotional safety. That's not a therapy talking point. It's what your body already knows. When she feels genuinely seen and not managed, not handled, not appeased, she moves closer. Not always immediately, but the movement is real. These are the failure modes that most commonly turn a good faith attempt into something that makes things worse. Opening with a complaint. "We haven't had sex in 6 weeks" is a complaint dressed as an observation. Start with what you miss, not what you've been counting, making her feel like a problem to be solved. The moment this conversation feels like a performance review, she's gone. You're not here to fix her. You're here to talk about both of you. Expecting resolution in one conversation. This doesn't get settled in one sitting. If you go in expecting her to have a complete change of heart by the end of the night, you'll push too hard when she doesn't. One honest conversation is enough. Bringing it up in the wrong moment, after an argument, right before bed when she's exhausted, or in front of other people, all of these guarantee a bad outcome. Going silent after she doesn't respond the way you hoped. This is the trap. You say something real, she responds with defensiveness or distance, and you go quiet for another 6 months. That silence communicates, "I tried once and gave up. Come back to it." Treating her response as a verdict. One conversation, even one that doesn't go perfectly, isn't evidence that nothing can change. It's data. Adjust and try again. Sometimes you do everything right, and the conversation still falls apart. She shuts down. You both get frustrated. It ends without resolution. This is normal. It doesn't mean you've failed. The repair move is simple. Don't let it become the last thing that happened. Give it 24 to 48 hours. Then reopen gently. Use script
5.
Keep it short. Just say you want to try again. A few specific RE entry scenarios worth knowing. If she said something that hurt you during the conversation, name it the next day. Calmly. Something you said has been sitting with me, and I want to tell you what it was. Then listen to her response. Don't make her wrong. Just name what happened for you. If you said something that hurt her, apologize specifically. Not, I'm sorry you felt that way. That's not an apology. I said this specific thing, and I think it came out wrong. What I meant was the honest version. I'm sorry. That's an apology. If the conversation revealed something bigger, sometimes this conversation opens a door to something much larger, years of emotional distance, a specific event that never got resolved, or a feeling that's been growing for a long time. That's not a failure. That's the real conversation. If it feels too large to handle alone, say so. What is the worst thing she could say? And can I survive hearing it? She could say it's permanently broken. I don't think that's true. But even if part of it is, I'd rather know than keep guessing. You said something true about what you've been feeling, without framing it as a complaint or a demand. The conversation happened, even if it didn't go perfectly. You didn't say nothing. That's the actual measure. If you want to go deeper on this, you'll find the links right in the guide where you got this audio. Or head to the Two-Way Intimacy Library page and look for the same title. The full guide, playbook, and checklist are all available as free PDF downloads. The playbook walks you through the key steps in a format you can work through on your own. The checklist gives you a quick reference you can come back to before a conversation. I hope this helps.